that'll catch you up to why Paul is saying the things that he's saying here. So if you remember in chapter 1, he started off by saying he's absolutely amazed that they are deserting the gospel. And to the Galatian Christians, that would have been new to them. They wouldn't have thought that they were deserting the gospel. But what he's saying is when you try to add anything to faith to save you or take anything away from Christianity, from faith alone saves by grace, then you lose the gospel. So another way to say that is Christ plus or Christ minus anything is no longer the gospel. It no longer saves us. It becomes just a religion, doesn't it, about what we do or don't do. And then he says, look, I didn't make up this gospel on the second half of chapter 1. In fact, I received it from a revelation of God. God gave it to me. Now, after he received it sometime, some of these false brothers who believe, they were called Judaizers, and they believe that Christ plus keeping these ceremonial laws is what saved you, they came down into Galatia and they were teaching that. So Paul, what he does, he confronts it head on. He takes this guy named Titus, who was a Greek, and he had not been circumcised, which is part of the Old Testament law. And he takes him up to Jerusalem, and there he presents the gospel that he's preaching to the heads of the church. And they agree, this is the gospel. Yes, it's by grace through faith alone. You don't need to be circumcised, which is good things for us, right? You should say yes. And so his proof of that is Titus. Titus comes back and he's not circumcised, eh? And so they know that, yes, it is by grace through faith. Now, after that, Peter comes down to Antioch. And when Peter comes down, he's eating with dirty Gentiles like you and me. And then these Judaizers, these religious Jews, come down. And what does Peter do? Well, Paul says he begins to act out of step with the gospel. He becomes a hypocrite because he'll no longer eat with them, but he'll say that they are one in Christ. And Paul pounds him and says, you're out of step with the gospel and you're living as someone who doesn't believe, like you're condemned. Now, from that, Paul rolls into the second half of chapter 2 and says, no, you're justified, which means you're made right before God by faith alone in Christ. Now, that brings us up to where we are in chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, he changes gears a little bit, and he says, having shown you that you're justified, which is a big theological word, means being made right with God by faith apart from works, now he shows both the Scripture, the Bible, and their experience testify to this. In other words, he's going to ask them, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it by the law? Was it works? Or was it by faith in Christ and hearing? And then where we're going next week is, how was Abraham, the father of the faith, in the Old Testament saved? Was it by works or was it by faith? So he's building this argument. Make sense? Okay. So let's just read Galatians chapter 3, verses just 1 to 5. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let's stop right there, because then he's going to get into Abraham. Let's just pray for our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, God, that the Old Testament in various places told us that the Spirit would be poured out, not just come down every once in a while, like on David and Samuel, Lord, but would be poured out and dwell with your people in a new and radical way. And this Spirit would be a mark and seal to us and to the world that we are now in Christ. Give us hope, Lord, for life change and for eternity. Lord, and I praise you for that. But there's a lot of confusion about that in the church today and in the church then. Lord, we understand that we're saved by faith, oh God. But often, Lord, we lose it when it comes to how we grow. God, I pray that today that we would understand how we grow in Christ. which is the same way that we're saved in Christ. Lord, and I pray, God, that we would all have an inward testimony of the Holy Spirit in us. If we're saved, if we know Christ, if we receive that Spirit that which cries out, Abba, Father. Lord, in all of us, there would be a longing, Abba, Father, longing to know God, Lord. Lord, stir our hearts and our affections for you, God. We pray that Jesus would be honored during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul switches gears here, and he has a series of questions about their experiences with the Spirit. But he starts by saying, you foolish Galatians, you're acting like fools. Why? Because they came into Christ and they were saved by faith. That's how they received the Spirit. They saw miracles by faith. And now they're trying to, what he calls, complete themselves or perfect themselves. It means growing, right? By ceremonies and religious works. Now, my question to you and to myself this week has been this. How do you try to complete or perfect your life outside of Christ? That's kind of the question of the text here. How do you and I try? What are you looking to complete and perfect your life outside of Christ? Let me explain what I mean by that. I'll tell you a story about a lady named Susan. Susan's a Christian. She has been for years. But lately she's been struggling at work and at marriage. She struggles with the fear of man, which has led her to want to be a people pleaser. I might be the only people pleaser in this room, but I am a people pleaser, okay? And I struggle with this, so I understand Susan. She begins to struggle with this. So in her marriage, she was always worried that her husband will leave her because she witnessed the same thing her father left her mother. And so she thinks she wants to make everything perfect at home. So she strives and strives and strives and strives and strives always to make everything perfect. Now, at work, she does something similar. She's full of fear of losing her job. So she never asserts her opinion, never speaks up when she needs to. She always does the extra work that no one else is willing to do for no pay. Now, for Susan, and for many of you and for me, she must have the affirmation and the approval of her husband, her children, and her boss in order to feel complete. That makes sense. To feel whole, to feel accepted. And what the gospel says to Susan, the gospel says to you and to me, is her problem is very similar to the Galatians. She is looking to something else besides Christ alone, His sufficiency to make her feel complete, whole and perfect in this life. Now, in Galatians 3 here, Paul is addressing these Galatians who are struggling with this. They also want to feel complete. They want to feel perfectly accepted, whole, and are therefore taking on all these rules imposed by the Jewish sect. And Paul simply asks them, how did you receive the Spirit? In other words, how was your life originally changed? Was it by grace through faith? Or was it by works, you see? And if that's the case, then why are you now trying to grow and complete yourself outside of grace through faith and the power of the Spirit in our lives? So I want to come back to that question to you, is this. How are you trying to complete your life outside of Christ? Another way to say that is, what is it besides the cross of Christ, the power of the Spirit in you, the sufficiency of the death of Jesus for our acceptance with God that you are looking to, hoping in, to feel complete and perfect in this world? Now, before we became Christians, many of us, most of us had those things, didn't we? Those heart completion things where we might have looked to projects, got to get these projects done, or personal doing things, or people-pleasing like me, or legalistic rules like religious people, or physical satisfaction lust and sexual relationships. Those type of things are all physical satisfaction. In the business world, a lot of times it's financial security or workplace accomplishments or the praise of men such as your, or women such as your boss. All to make us feel complete and satisfied in life. Listen, when we come to Christ, though, when we become Christians, God tells us we're complete and perfected by faith in the work of Christ and by communion with His Spirit. We are being completed. Now, the problem is we often return to these works of the flesh, don't we, to feel complete and satisfied rather than trusting in Christ. Okay? So here's the main idea today. We grow in Christ the same way we begin in Christ, by faith. We grow in Christ the same way we begin in Christ, by faith. Does that make sense? Yeah? Maybe. Maybe not. I can give it to you a second time. Let's dive in. Here's two things we want to see about that. We must grow in Christ the same way we begin in Christ. Here's the first thing. We enter Christianity by hearing the gospel with faith. Okay? That's how we begin. Look at verses 1 and 2 in your Bibles in chapter 3. Notice he says it like this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Stop there. Notice how he starts. Those aren't the kindest of words. Notice he says, look, you're foolish, right? Oh, foolish Galatians, which means you are unwise, you're thoughtless. Now, the question you should be thinking is, how are they foolish? Well, he tells us, it was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly betrayed as crucified. Now, he's not saying that they saw Jesus crucified. What he's saying is, when I came and I preached Christ to you, Christ crucified for your full acceptance with God, Paul said he did it in such a way by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was almost like a picture, which is what the word literally means, like a drawing in the Greek. It was put out before you so you got it. You fully understood the implications of Christ, the Son of God, being crucified for you. Now, here's why he calls them foolish. Because notice that word bewitched. But now you're acting bewitched, which means you're acting charmed. And I just saw this video game that Ashwin and some guys were playing, and it was a bunch of zombies. Maybe you played, what is it called, Ashwin? Black Ops. Maybe you played Black Ops, right? And what he's asking is, why are you acting like the zombie in Black Ops? You know, you used to understand the gospel, but now you're zombified. Okay, now you're bewitched, you might say, okay? Because they're not living under the significance of the cross. Now, Paul now turns to their experience. Okay? He turns to their experience. Look at verse 2. Look what he says in verse 2. I'm going to read it one more time. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And in the Greek, it literally means, look, this only I'm going to ask you. I'm going to just pound you with this question. And the question is, how did you receive the Spirit? You were Gentiles. You had no experience of this experience of the Spirit of God. How did this Holy Spirit come upon you? Now, let's stop there. I want to give you a little bit of context. This is a principle in the New Testament. Receiving the Spirit is a sign of God's acceptance of a person. So if you think about the book of Acts, this is Peter's argument to the heads of the church in Jerusalem, why dirty Gentiles like you and me are now part of God's people because they've received the Holy Spirit. So this is what Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 47. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we are? Now, Paul's argument is similar. Galatians. Who's zombified you? Who's bewitched you? When you heard Christ crucified for your sins, you believed it, you received the Spirit as proof that you're accepted by God by believing, not by doing. Now, I want to say one more thing about this before we move on. Okay, Rusty, what's the significance of receiving the Spirit? What's the significance? In the Old Testament, there was this incredible expectation that God's Spirit was going to be poured out. I just want to read you one place. Joel 2:28. It says this. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So there was this great Old Testament expectation that the Holy Spirit, who had been working in various ways amongst God's people, would now be poured out in a deeper, more significant way on all flesh. Which means not just Jewish people, but dirty Gentiles like you and I from various parts of the world can now, by faith, receive the Spirit. So that was kind of the expectation in the Old Testament. And what Paul is teaching us here is the Spirit now dwelling in us authenticates our salvation. It authenticates it. And all believers who are really in Christ have received the Spirit in such a way that they know it. That their communion with God has changed. That they've been recreated. That they have a new heart and desire from God. D.L. Moody. Anybody here ever heard of D.L. Moody or read anything on D.L. Moody, the great evangelist that traveled the world? D.L. Moody, when he started off his ministry in Chicago, he said he would preach to groups, big crowds like this, and he would present the gospel, and not much would happen. He would ask people, "Do you want to come forward and receive Christ?" And very few ever did. And then Moody says, one day, he spent the entire day walking the streets of Chicago praying. And he said the Holy Spirit met him in such an absolutely incredible way. And he said he never spoke about this day because it was so remarkable for him. Now, something changed from that point on. Moody got up to preach soon after that, gave similar messages. And when he invited people to come up and receive Christ, hundreds did. And Moody was so shocked the first time it happened that he actually stopped them. Wait a second, I'm not asking if you want a free sandwich. I'm asking you if you want to come receive Christ. Did you hear me correctly? As the people came forward. Now from that day forward, Moody's ministry was radically changed as God began to do something different in him. Now, here's the reason I tell you that story. So it is when we genuinely receive Christ, we receive the Spirit in such a way that there is an obvious change in our lives. So that Paul doesn't, he's not arguing that they have received the Spirit. He's presuming that they know that they've received the Spirit because it's happened in such a way. Now, what shows that the Spirit lives in your life? Okay, Rusty, look, I've never preached and had hundreds come forward. I've never had miracles happen. When I became a Christian, there wasn't lightning bolts that came down on top of me. How do I know that I've received the Holy Spirit? And there's three things here that he tells us from the book of Galatians we want to look at. First is this. It comes from verse 5. He said the Spirit was doing miracles. So evidently, they beheld healings, speaking in different tongues, prophecy, possibly people being raised from the dead. And as Christians in the church, we often experience the supernatural power of the Spirit. Now, we have to stop here. We have to be careful because God's Spirit does not always work like that. And all works like that are not necessarily from God's Spirit. Where's that from? Matthew 24:24. False Christ, false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So here's the first way the Spirit shows His presence is miracles. Second is this, Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying out, Abba, Father. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is now in us, crying out like a son to his father, longing to know and to fellowship with God. That's the second way we know that the Spirit's in us and we're Christians. The third is this, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, there will be new love in your heart for God. And there will be new love in your hearts for people. It means a new commitment to want to follow and know God. Now, I want to give you one quote before we move on from Charles Spurgeon. He says it like this. Make a man alive with the Spirit, and he is unwilling to lie in a coffin anymore. That's a great quote. Receive the Spirit, you can't live like a dead man anymore. You will want to know God. Here's the second thing. Point two. We grow in Christ the same way we came in Christ. First is, by faith, we enter by hearing the gospel. Second is this. We grow by hearing the gospel with faith. The point two is we grow by hearing the gospel with faith. If you'll look in your Bibles at verse 3 with me. Verse 3 in your Bibles. Look what he says here. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So, here's the question we want to ask. Please come back and listen to this. The question he asks is the question we want to ask. How are you being perfected? Okay? And you say, what does that mean, Rusty? That word perfected literally means completed, made whole. And he's asking you, what is it in your life that you are doing, looking to make you feel complete with your relationship with God? Now, he gives two options. He gives two options there, the flesh and the spirit. And notice he says, you began in the spirit, didn't you? And he means that you were saved and you were accepted by faith and the Holy Spirit came upon you in incredible ways by faith in Christ alone. Now, how are you growing? Is it by doing or is it by believing? Now, let's close with these thoughts. What he's saying is this. Generally, people think that they're justified, they're made right with God by faith in Christ through the Holy Spirit in them, right? Most Christians would agree to that. But then we often think, how do we grow as Christians? What we call sanctification. How are you sanctified? And most Christians think it's by my effort. And what Paul says is not true. Faith in Christ is sufficient for your acceptance and your growth, your completeness in Christ. So another way to say it is we don't begin the Christian life by faith in the Spirit and grow through fleshly effort. So we'll come back to this question. How are you trying to complete or perfect your life outside of trusting in Christ? Now, before you became a Christian, all of you had projects, people-pleasing, legalistic rules, physical pleasure, financial security, workplace accomplishments to make you feel complete. And my question is, are you still looking to those things? Are they still there in such a way that that's what you're looking to for your completeness? Now, I want to tell you how I have tried to complete my life over the years outside of Christ. The first church I pastored, it was a very small church. It had about 35 people in it when we began. And we quickly realized that we had to make some changes to the church. I'm going to just talk while I tie my shoe because I don't want to trip on my face and become zombified right here in front of you. Okay. And so we quickly realized that we had to make some changes in the church to grow and to have life in our church. So with the elders, we decided one of the many changes we needed to make was change the name of the church for many reasons. So we did that. We had a big meeting like this with all 35 people there. And one of the original founding families of the church, the judge in the local small town, who everybody knew and everybody loved, got up and walked out. And here's this young 29-year-old pastor, is the local judge, gets up and walks out and says he's never coming back. And other people do the same. They follow him out of the church. I was shell-shocked. So I went to his house. And I went over to his home to talk with him. And he ardently disagreed with my decisions, the decisions of the elders. And what I found myself doing is compromising my opinions to gain his approval and the approval of people I wanted affirmation and acceptance from in the town. It was hard for me to hear, "Have you heard about that young Presbyterian minister? He's absolutely destroying the church," all over town. And when I went to the local meat and three, which is like meat and three vegetables, people would kind of look at me and point and say things, and I knew what they were talking about. So I began to, I wanted their affirmation. I wanted their approval of the town. And I began to feel very incomplete, very joyless, very hopeless without it. Now, I was seeking completeness in something besides Jesus. The heart of the problem was I was believing that the sacrifice of Christ and the Spirit of Christ in me was not sufficient. In other words, acceptance of God was not enough. I had to have the acceptance of men to feel complete. And maybe you do too. So the Galatian message is for me and it's for you. It says to me, "Rusty, how did you receive the Spirit? How was your life radically changed by hearing with faith in Christ or by doing?" And if that is true, then don't look to the judge. Don't look to the town people when times are hard to feel complete by faith. Look to Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to know that you're complete and to change your situation. Now, here's my last question for you. What is it besides Jesus, if you're a Christian, that you're looking to feel complete, to feel accepted, to feel love maybe in life? And whatever it is, we want to ask God to forgive us of it and to remove it, just like the Galatians here, and look to Christ. And my question to you is, how did you receive the Spirit? How was your life changed? And so will your life continue to be changed by looking to Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that we're complete because we're in Christ. Amen? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, God, we've all had ways before we became Christians that made us feel complete, made us feel whole, made us feel accepted. God, and when I read Galatians, that's what I see them trying to do. They want completeness. They want acceptance. But they don't want it because of Christ. They want it by doing. Lord, and we do the same thing. We all have judges. We all have an old judge or a town or someone that we're trying to please or some boss or something that we're looking for completeness and acceptance from rather than resting in the gospel of Christ. God, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you the gospel is not just about being saved, but it's about every aspect of our lives being transformed, knowing that you are satisfied with us in Christ. And lastly, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work sanctification, life change in a greater way in each of our lives, God. And we just pray this in the name of our risen and living Savior, who is all of our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.